Bless the Lord who forgiveth all our sins. His mercy endureth forever. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ saith. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Let us humbly confess our sins unto Almighty God. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you, against thee in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved thee with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of thy Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in thy will and walk in thy ways to the glory of thy name. Amen. The almighty and merciful Lord grant you absolution and remission of all your sins, true repentance, amendment of life, and the grace and consolation of his Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Christ, have mercy upon us.
Lord, have mercy upon us. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. O God, whose glory it is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from thy ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith, to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of thy word, Jesus Christ, thy Son, who with thee and the Holy Spirit liveth and reigneth, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
A reading from the book of Genesis. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you will make me exceedingly numerous. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall give rise to nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The psalm appointed for today is Psalm 22. Verses 22 through 30. Praise the Lord, you that fear him. Stand in awe of him, O offspring of Israel. All you of Jacob's line, give glory. For he does not despise nor abhor the poor in their poverty. Neither does he hide his face from them. But when they cry to him, he hears them. My praise is of him in the great assembly. I will perform my vows in the presence of those who worship him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied, and those who seek the Lord shall praise him. May your heart live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nation shall bow down before him. For kingship belongs to the Lord, He rules over the nations. To him alone, all who sleep in the earth bow down and worship. All who go down to the dust shall fall before him. My soul shall live for him. My descendants shall serve him. They shall be known as the Lord's forever. They shall come and make known to a people yet unborn the saving deeds that he has done.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of God, in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said, so numerous shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore, his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Not the words it was reckoned to, now the words it was reckoned to him were written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be reckoned to us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over to the death of our trespass for our trespasses, and was raised for our justification. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Saint Mark. Glory be to thee, O Lord. Jesus began to teach his disciples that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Jesus said all this quite openly, according to Mark, this being the declaration that he would suffer and be killed and rise again. Presumably then by this time, he wanted people to be aware of his upcoming arrest, torture, death, and resurrection. Fair enough. It would seem only natural then that Peter would say, "No, you can't let this happen." Or as Matthew has it, "God forbid, Lord, this shall never happen to you." I've got to tell you that this seems like a setup to me, as if Jesus is baiting Peter. I mean, in Mark's version, the narrator says, "But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, 'Get behind me, Satan.'" It's the looking at his disciples detail that caught my attention, as if Jesus is only ostensibly speaking to Peter when he's actually addressing all the disciples and beyond them to his general audience. I saw it as a kind of scene in a movie where Jesus and Peter had been speaking and Jesus turns around to say the next line to him, but he's facing, well, the camera, us if we're among the disciples, and delivers this line. The Satan line seems designed to get everyone's attention, a setup for the next line: "You are setting yourself not on divine things, but on human things." That's how far I'd gotten before I decided to look up one of my favorite people's take on this. Frederick Buechner wrote this in his profile of Peter in his book, Peculiar Treasures. This is heavily edited. Jesus put the question of his identity to them straight. Who do you say that I am? Nobody wanted to stick his neck out, and the silence was deafening till Peter broke it. You're the Christ, he said, the Son of the living God. It took a lot of guts to say, and Jesus knew it did. If it was true, it was enough to blow the lid off everything. If it wasn't true, you could get yourself stoned to death as a blasphemer for just thinking it. But Peter said it anyway. And Jesus made up for him the only beatitude he ever made up for a single individual and said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah," and told him that he was the rock he wanted to build his church on, and that as soon as he got to heaven, he was to be the one to decide who else got in. "I will give you the keys of the kingdom," Jesus said. But if Peter was the only one Jesus ever gave a beatitude of his own to, he was also the only one he ever gave hell to, at least in quite such a direct way. It happened not too long afterward. Jesus was saying that to be the Christ, the Son of the living God, wasn't going to be a bed of roses all the way, and the time wasn't far off when he'd suffer the tortures of the damned in Jerusalem and be killed. Peter couldn't take it. "God forbid, Lord, this shall never happen," he said. And that's when Jesus lit into him. "Get behind me, Satan," he said, because the rock that Peter was at that point was blocking the grim road that Jesus knew he had to take, whether he or Peter or anybody else wanted it that way or not, because God wanted it that way, and that was that. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Love that, Frederick Buechner. So what does that mean for us on this second Sunday in Lent, or more importantly, on this day in our lives? At the very least, it means that our human way of thinking about life doesn't always, maybe never, squares with a wider, deeper perspective, what Jesus calls divine things. Images from the Mars rover and that older photograph of Earth taken from space popped into my mind as I was writing this. Those can't help but remind us that each of us is not so big a deal as we sometimes think we are. The same thought occurred to me on an incredibly smaller scale, but still, during diocesan council yesterday. Our Diocese of Texas spans 57 counties, 57 Texas counties, contains over 75,000 members, has an average Sunday attendance in excess of 25,000, and our annual budget's about $11 million. The foundation formed by the sale of the Houston Hospital in 2013 has already made total grants of $373 million, $29 million in 2020 alone. It's a great, big, wonderful family we're part of us, and each of us is a tiny and essential part of that. Is that a way of looking at divine things, seeing as God sees? The big picture in which each of us is the size of a dust mite and at the same time an important member of a huge family, even bigger than the one promised Abraham by God. We are meant, I believe, to hold this tension within us between the preciousness of our life, every single life, and the larger reality of this family of God spanning not only the globe and all the cosmos, but also all of time. Are we meant to hold that big picture before us? Well, Peter couldn't. Not at the moment captured in our gospel reading. All he could see was how his close friend and teacher and monumental figure, the Christ, the Anointed, was about to die according to that friend's own declaration. Peter continued his life as an impetuous and passionate follower of Jesus until he drew his last breath. He gladly proclaimed the essential truth, once he got it himself, that Jesus had to die in order to be raised from the dead and to make eternal life a reality for all of us. Now, the meaning of eternal life is the topic for another time. But whatever it means, it must mean that there is more to all of this. Life and death, and our place in God's wide world and family, than our impulse to hang on to what we've got, whether that is money, position, or even those we love, something bigger than we can see from our merely human perspective. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We'll continue with a Nicene Creed.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the whole state of Christ's church and the world. Almighty and ever-living God, who in thy holy word has taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all men, receive these our prayers which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord. And grant that all those who do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word and live in unity and godly love. Lord, in thy mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give grace, O Heavenly Father, to all bishops and other ministers, especially Michael, our presiding bishop, Andy, Jeff, Hector, and Kay, our bishops, Michael, our priest, and Jeannie, our missionary, that they may, both by their life and doctrine, set forth thy true and lively word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. Lord, in thy mercy,
hear our prayer.
And to all thy people, give thy heavenly grace, and especially to this congregation here present, that with meek hearts and due reverence, they may hear and receive thy holy word. truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. Lord, in thy mercy,
hear our prayer.
We beseech thee also so to rule the hearts of those who bear the authority of government in this and every land, especially Joseph, our president, that they may be led to wise decisions and right actions for the welfare and peace of the world. Lord, in thy mercy,
hear our prayer.
Open, O Lord, the eyes of all people to behold thy gracious hand in all thy works, that rejoicing in thy whole creation, they may honor thee with their substance and be faithful stewards of thy bounty. Lord, in thy mercy,
hear our prayer.
And we most humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succor all those who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity, especially John, Nancy, Morgan, David, Judy, Bob, Karen, Leslie, Carol, Bobby, Marianne, Winifred, Alan, James, Victoria, Christiane, Patrick, Dale, Donna, June, Molly, George, Joe, Cecile, Kenyon, Sarah, Lynn, Carol, Tyler, Merle, Charisse, Miranda, Caitlin, Diane, Jill, Melissa, Ann, Jenny, Lindsay, Ellie, Tom, Shelley, Carol, Gail, Rashunda, Carolyn, Virginia, Dallas, Charles, Patty, Alice, Glenda, Leah, Greg, Jackie, Donald, RG, Robin, Barbara, the women in the Hutto facility, Brooks, Ed, the Degater family, William, the Bailey family, Sid and his family, Betty, and Ed, Sherry, Norman, and all who mourn. And with these thy servants who serve in the military, Brian, Eric, James, Trevor, Kevin, Chris, Gerard, Brian, Jonathan, and all in harm's way. Lord, in thy mercy,
hear our prayer.
And with all those who travel this week,
with Sherry and others you may wish to remember.
And with all who mourn the deaths of their loved ones. And we also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, especially Marco Espinosa, Monte Schultz, Colleen Collier, and all who have died from the coronavirus, beseeching thee to grant them continual growth in thy love and service, and to grant us grace so to follow the good examples of the Blessed Virgin Mary and of all thy saints, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Lord, in thy mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray in thanksgiving, especially with all those who celebrate their birthdays and anniversaries this week, especially Susan and Tom Mitchell, Susan and Dan Wallace, their 25th, Cynthia Horn, Morgan Wright, Lindsay Gray.
At this time, I invite your additional prayers of thanksgiving or petitions or intercessions, either silently or aloud, unmuting yourself.
Paul, April, Russ, and Perry.
Grant these our prayers, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ hath taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now I invite you all to unmute yourselves and respond to this. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you,
Spirit.
Peace be with you all.
Peace to the Lord, everybody.
Peace to the Lord, everybody.
Peace.
Georgie.
Love
you.
Hi, Ann.
Hi.
Hi,
Georgie.
Hi.
Hi. Ian.
Ian, that's great to see you.
Thank you.
And you
we missed everybody.
We miss you too.
Yes.
We miss you too.
You look so grown up.
Thank you. I just turned 9.
Wow, congratulations. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
How wonderful. That's great. 9 years old, man. That's really
plus
something.
Plus your double digits.
Yeah, that's right. You're
going to be two numbers before you know it.
All right. I'll say this. What we say in lieu of a blessing during Lent, a solemn prayer. By the way, in the liturgy, the way this goes is it says, it's presuming that we're all standing at that point, and it says, bow down before the Lord. The deacon is to say that. And then what follows is this solemn prayer. And then we'll sing together, and then we'll talk together.
Keep this,
your family, Lord, with your never-failing mercy, that relying solely on the help of your heavenly grace, they may be upheld by your divine protection through Christ our Lord. Amen.
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 This is a different tune to this hymn, but we know this tune, so be on guard. Here we go.
Mute yourselves. I can't mute you.
Thank you.